KGMZ FM and HD1 and KGMZ San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome to you. It's great to have you here. We're going to talk you all the way up to Warriors Live, which gets going at 6 o'clock tonight here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors have a 10-win Chicago Bulls team in town. And look, it's a handle your business and probably handle your business easily on a Friday night for the Warriors, right?
Chicago
is a bad team. The last team that was in here was a bad team. They were at the end of the road trip, and the Knicks were cooked. The Warriors beat them easily. They've been rested. They've been relaxed. This is their second game in 6 days. They've been home. They've been happy. They've been sleeping in their own beds. They've been eating the meals that their wives have, I know that one guy's wife is a hell of a cook, that's for sure. I'm sure Aisha's been taking care of Steph, getting him all sorts of
deliciousness.
Yes, anything that he would
game
want. Like
pasta.
I said, this is a team that has been home for a week, and the one game that they had to play over the last 6 days was no big whoop. I mean, no stress at all to beat the New York Knicks. So tonight, another team where it shouldn't take that much effort to find victory. You're a lot better than your opponent. Don't play down to your opponent. Don't do it. That's the only way you can lose tonight. If you play down to the Bulls, maybe their effort will get you beat. But if you play your game, if you do what I know you are built to do, you should be fine. What is good, I think, about the Warriors, more than any performance, more than any statistical anomaly, like, oh, 43 points on 4 dribbles, isn't Clay the best? And yes, he is. Yes, it's amazing. The most important thing this week for the Warriors is just the overall feeling and attitude around the team. Like, there have been some positive games. There have been some positive performances. There have been some memorable performances. There have been positive attitudes. And more than anything else, it's the positive news that DeMarcus Cousins is right around the corner. And I think as soon as that corner is officially turned, we're going to watch the Warriors turn the corner of their season. And I think that they're going to get caught up in trying to impress themselves on a game-by-game basis. The opponent is not enough to motivate the Warriors. I think the Warriors, now having DeMarcus, there's no excuses to not basically run the table, right? I mean, what is their record and winning percentage without Boogie? And now we're going to look at it with Boogie. It better be dramatically improved. That's what we're expecting. Now, maybe it takes a few games for him to ramp up into real game-playing shape. As a matter of fact, I'm expecting that, and you should too. But just his presence in that lineup, regardless of how many minutes he gets on a particular night, that should motivate this team. Steph Curry.
It's exciting. I can't imagine what he's gone through, not only physically, but just mentally. The long year of rehab, being around our team since the summer, understanding this day was going to come, not really knowing when it was going to happen, but when you're around this environment and kind of the buzz and just the amount of attention and atmosphere we play in every night and having to watch, I know that's tough, and hopefully you continue to motivate and to stick with this rehab routine and getting ready to play. And now that the light's at the end of the tunnel, he can see it. It's got to be exciting for him.
Damon, why do I officially have my calendar circled with the word return on it for the Bulls game? Well, because our birdies were chirping at us. We were wrong, but not wrong by much. We just got the Friday wrong. And the truth is, DeMarcus Cousins could probably play tonight. They're just being extra cautious. Steve Kerr, even I thought, left the door open for DeMarcus to maybe play against the Pelicans. Maybe that's a whole bunch of drama that they're just not interested in. But next Friday, I was wrong. Pardon me. I told you to circle that Bulls game, but I wasn't far off. And I think next Friday, at the very least, we will see DeMarcus Cousins start a game. I still think we might see him in that New Orleans game. I really do. I'm just throwing that out there.
And Kerr said that, you know, give or take a game before or after. It's not 100%. They're just targeting Friday. So we could see him as early as Wednesday.
When we did talk to Steve yesterday about DeMarcus, here's what he had to say. Like, what were you looking for in practice to say, okay, let's up the timetable?
Well, he just looked like he had his conditioning where it needed to be. He's been scrimmaging for the last month or so. And I would say the first 3 weeks, you know, I didn't see the level of conditioning that it was going to take to play in an NBA game. And then over the last week or so, he's just been sprinting the floor and getting up and down and looking much more like himself. And you could tell that he had reached a different level. And so I think we're ready to put him out there and, you know, see what happens right away.
When he does get out there, he will be out there in the starting five.
A guy like that, you start just automatically putting the starting lineup. He's an all-star. He's been in this league for a long time. He's extremely talented. To begin with, yeah, we just throw him right out there for sure.
Text line says, hey, Damon, you were as far off as the Bears kicker. Yeah, and you don't see me booking an interview about how wrong I was on USA Today, do you?
Damon, how do you feel?
Good morning, USA. What is it? What was
Today Show.
Today Show. USA Today is a newspaper. I got that right. Hey, you don't need DeMarcus Cousins to start playing well. You already have started playing well. You're playing better. Keep it going. It has been a month since this team has enjoyed a three-game win streak. They win tonight. They're streaking.
We're going streaking! Yes!
Where are you going to go streaking?
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody! Come on!
Let's do it. Come on. Go streaking. Friday night at Oracle. There isn't a more fun date at Oracle than a Friday night at Oracle. So I hope tonight is an awful lot of fun. I hope you got tickets. I hope you're going. I hope it's a party. There's not a lot of Friday nights remaining in that building. Have fun tonight if you are going. Colts, Chiefs, Cowboys, Rams, Chargers, Patriots, Eagles, Saints. We have four very interesting games remaining. We have 8 Super Bowl contenders. We really do. There's no team here that I look at and think, well, there's just no way, no shot in hell they got to reach in the Super Bowl. And don't tell me, well, it's a time of the year, Damon, where, you know, there's all teams are still alive, got a shot at the Super Bowl. No. We have in years past been able to look at this weekend and go, they're in a lot of trouble. They're in a ton of trouble. They ain't advancing. Good luck. This is wide open, baby. It really is. Like I was saying in 5 before 5, I would like the points galore Super Bowl. I would like to see Rams-Chiefs. Both of them have to survive this Saturday before we get to the Sunday slate of Chargers-Pats, Eagles-Saints. Or no, it's Eagles-Saints is Saturday, too. Saturday night, right? No, Cowboys-Rams is Saturday night?
Yes, you got
Eagles-Saints is Saturday. It's Sunday night.
Sunday night, correct.
Thank you very much. 888-957-9570. We're about to get back to our phone. We had people calling in talking about how you fix baseball. How you go ahead and you fix baseball in a time where baseball needs a little fixing. Like, it's time to appreciate the past, not live in it. We've seen clips of winter ball, Dominican League players bat flipping all over the place. We went into an article read earlier, written by John Baker, who basically said, you know, you go down and you play a little winter ball, you go to the Dominican, it changes your perspective on what is baseball normal. What you think is so offensive on a major league field, for them, that's called how we play the game all the time. And a person could walk this article all the way out to, well, hey, this article is about conforming to the culture that you're existing in. Why shouldn't players now in America conform to this culture? And I'm saying that it's time for baseball to conform to the culture that it's living in. You know, when baseball was invented and it was coming up through its glory years, it was a game basically played by a monochromatic dugout, one color across the board, one culture being served, Puritan, understated, professional all the time is what was expected. When it comes to professionalism, when it comes to never having fun as you ply your trade because you're a professional, that's what I want out of an accountant. That's what I want out of a rocket scientist. That's what I want out of a doctor. That's what I want out of an attorney. Out of a Major League Baseball player, I want an entertainer. I want a little fun. I think it's time we incentivize some fun in baseball. Forget about standing up for cancer. What about bat flips for cancer? Every single time a guy bat flips, cancer research gets $1,000. How about that? That's better. By the way, Elena, I'm so sorry. I forgot the cash contest thing today. It's out there. If you want to go run out and grab it for me, I'll be sure to read it for you, since that's a great little opportunity to win a little cash. But I just don't have it on me. It's out in the other room. Look at the people. Look at the humans scrambling.
Stand by. It's coming. Well,
by the way, why didn't the guy in the back doing nothing go get the piece of paper? I mean, Elena didn't have to do that, but that's all right. I'm sure his argument is, I didn't know where it was, and Elena did. Elena, thank you very much. Hand-delivered. Hand-delivered by the button vixen herself. It's time now for the 95.7 The Game signing bonus, your chance to win $1,000 by texting the code word RELAX. We all know how that's spelled, thanks to Aaron Rodgers. Text RELAX to 72881. That's RELAX. Text it to 72881. This is a multi-state contest message, and data rates apply.
Good luck.
Hey, Damon, do you think Kyler Murray's passing up on baseball because he wants to celebrate? No. But part of the reason why football is more ingrained in the culture is because it's just more fun. There's more action. There's more celebration. There's just more to look at. And there's a lot of downtime in the sport of football. But when it comes to downtime, baseball, it leads the pack. Mm-hmm. It really does. So when you do have an actual moment of, hey, something just happened, stiff upper lip should not be the only prescription for what just happened. If you were in charge of marketing Major League Baseball, how would you go about breathing some modern living and life into the game? We've got people who've been waiting since last hour to talk about this. I really appreciate you listening and your patience. Let's get to you right now. We'll start with Big Jose in San Jose. How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Very well. Thank you.
Diana, hola, chula. ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien, gracias.
I have a couple of ideas. First idea I have is around regulating the field. I mean, in basketball, they have a mandated court size, and football, all the fields are regulated. Why not? You know, here's a couple of things you can do. Bring in the pitcher's mound from 63 feet, 6 inches to 63 feet. I think that's what I mentioned. Or push it back to 64.
Well, what they do is they raise and lower the mound. It's the mound height, not the mound distance, that's ever changed. And honestly, Jose, and we're going to let you get back to your call here, but to me, the differences in the ballparks is part of baseball's charm. You'd be eliminating a lot of charm if you just went to completely every single baseball field is, you know, 100 yards this way, 52 yards that way, blah, blah, blah. If it was a standard measurement, it'd be a little boring to me.
Yeah, okay, I can see that point, but I was just thinking, like, maybe the fences, the ballpark configuration is up to change, but maybe the field alignment, bringing in some of the fences or lowering some of the fences so that you get the game up. If you bring the mound height down, as you mentioned, or bring it in a little bit, you can speed up the game. There's either more strikeouts or the game goes faster.
Well, here's, like,
or there's more long balls.
You know, here's the thing. I'm talking about changing the unwritten rules of baseball. I'm not interested in changing a single damn rule that has been written down. 60 feet, 6 inches, 90 feet between the base paths. Like, none of that changes. I'm not talking about, hey, do you think baseball would be a lot more fun if we played with rubber balls, tennis balls, big red bats? You know, that's not the call I'm looking for.
You want more fun, more flair, more excitement in the players itself.
Yes.
Not so much the game. You like the traditional aspect of the game. You
right.
Just want a little more flair.
It's time to appreciate the past, but not live in it. So how do
exactly.
We do that? So if I'm Major League Baseball commissioner, the very first thing I do is go into the production truck and I say, mic up the funniest guy on this team. Do it 10 games a year and let's play that audio. Then I think I'm going to go ahead and say, do you like sharing our images, our audio, our video clips? How come every single Major League Baseball game's not able to be accessed on YouTube, where Planet Entertainment moved years ago? Like, why? Why are we not doing this? What sort of antiquated broadcasting rights fees and agreed to licensing agreements are going to prevent us from moving forward? Like, how do we make our game easier to watch and easier to share between people who want to share their baseball stories and talk about their players? Like, Major League Baseball is issuing cease and desists to 14-year-old kids whacking up highlight videos.
That's crazy. I mean, you want those 14-year-old kids to have fun with this, have fun with these players, get excited about the game, because that's the audience they're losing. It's a very conservative, older audience at times.
That 14-year-old kid might not be buying his way into Oracle Park. I didn't do it. I didn't say AT&T Park. That 14-year-old kid might not be buying his way into a major league stadium right now, but by the time they're 24, 34, 44, you hope they're a season ticket holder.
Totally. And they're talking their parents into it. If he loves baseball that much, Dad, take me to a game.
How many kids are sitting around begging to be taken to a baseball game? I bet it's happening less and less around the kitchen table in America now than ever before. By the way, in case you want to say, Damon, I just saw that baseball's revenue was up. 3 million fewer fans walked into a baseball park last year. 3 million fewer fans. That's a significant number. Ahmed in Santa Clara, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, I love your radio station. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
I don't know much about baseball, honestly, but I grew up playing cricket. I don't know if you guys know anything about cricket, but cricket used to be played 5 days, and it shrank down to 1 day, which is 7 hours, and now it shrank down to 3 hours. So I would think baseball shrinking down to, like, shorter version would be exciting, because in this millennial age, like, not many people are looking at boring 6 hours, 7 hours game. If you shut them down to more offense, like cricket, basketball, because I came from cricket to basketball because it's shorter and it's more about offense, which excites. So the average age of basketball, like people watching baseball, is like 57 years old. So I don't know how baseball would come up with getting younger generation getting excited to watch a new game.
Well, and I've got someone here on the text line that has got a pretty good point to make. And thank you very much for the call, Amon. Says, hey, how many YouTube followers does baseball have? Oh, that's right, zero. Goodbye, millennial interest.
I mean, isn't that another form of revenue for them as well? Like, it just seems like they're missing the boat there.
The fact that they haven't... Dude, it's like... You know, the Grateful Dead didn't sell very many albums. I mean, like, over the course of their entire 35-year, 40-year-long touring career, yes, they sold millions and millions of albums. But the Grateful Dead did not become a cultural phenomenon because of the purchase directly from the record store Grateful Dead album. It was all the tapes that the fans recorded themselves and shared with themselves. It turned this... Oh, this show at the Nassau Coliseum was legendary. You got to hear this morning dew. You got to hear the, you know, oh, this is the single best version of China Cat Sunflower you've ever heard. Well, it wasn't put out on album for sale, but it was traded between the fans. And so even though the Grateful Dead wasn't making any money on the day that you traded a tape with another fan, they made their money the next time they came through town and you were a bigger fan and you bought a ticket to go to the show.
Yeah, you bought a ticket, you bought a shirt, you bought a hat. I mean, it just leads to so much more money for the, you know, for these bands.
It doesn't seem like baseball is interested in anything that doesn't mean cash transaction right here at point of sale.
Right.
Which to me is a little short-sighted. Bob, calling from 101. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, D. Bruce. Hey, Gianna. Thanks for taking my call. You know, this subject kind of spoke to me. I don't know about you guys, you know, growing up playing Little League, but, you know, I remember growing up and just living and breathing baseball. I mean, picking up your bat, playing with your friends, you know, playing Little League. I mean, there is a fire for baseball. There is a demand, and it starts with our kids. You know, I've got a two-year-old who I've been wanting to take to the ballpark. And, you know, I'm sitting here listening to all this stuff. And I had to ask myself, like, why have I not taken my kid to the park yet? And I think some of the things, you know, that need to change, you guys are right. Social media, letting people get accessible to that is right on. I would say some of the analytics to me have taken a lot of the fun out of the game. I understand that You know, when you put, you know, 10 pitchers in a game, it makes it harder for the other team. So, you know, it makes sense from if your goal is to win championship or pennants and to do that, you do it. But I think you need to limit the amount of pitchers that can come into a game. And if, like, let's say there's three pitchers that can play on one game. If that third pitcher, if you need to bring another one in, that last pitcher.
No, again, Bob. Again, you're changing the rules of baseball. You're crapping over 100 years of how the game is played. And to me, that is not the solution. Only three pitchers allowed. No, that's not the game of baseball. Bruce Bochy wants to use three different pitchers to go through this inning. Let him. It's not the right thing to do. It's not the most entertaining thing to do. But it's part of the strategy. Every team should be able to implement whatever strategy it feels best to win this game. That's how I feel. It's not. Look, there's a lot wrong with baseball. I'm not sure this pitching change is the biggest problem. Too many pitching changes over the course of a lifetime? Okay, now we got a significant chunk of time to talk about. But, like, to me, how about this? How about actually taking your off season and do something? Then how about that? At a winter meeting, something has to happen. Like, demand every single team must have one transaction at a winter meeting. Get in headlines. Give me a reason to click on your story. The worst story baseball got is the biggest story baseball's had in this offseason. Kyler Murray might not play baseball to go play football. That's the biggest offseason story in an offseason where there's Harper and Machado. Something that else is hurting baseball is you have very few teams trying to win. Everything in sports is copycat, and a lot of teams have decided to copycat what the Houston Astros did to bottom out, lose over 100 games 4 or 5 years in a row, and then through draft picks and development, maybe be a good team one day. And that's what you have to do if you don't have Yankee, Red Sox, Dodger money. Look at all the teams in baseball. There are 13 of them that are projected to come in under 500, according to Las Vegas. Pittsburgh, San Diego, Arizona, Cincinnati, Toronto, Seattle, the White Sox, the Giants, the Rangers, the Royals, the Tigers, the Fighting Jeters, and the Orioles are all predicted to come in under 500. The problem is the teams at the top? All right, well, it's the typical usual suspects. Houston is now one of those usual suspects because they went through the rebuild. Followed by the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers. Cleveland is an outlier. How Cleveland is hanging with all these big markets. You know, great job player developing and making some good signings there. And then you got the Chicago Cubs, followed by the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Cubs and Cardinals are massive fan bases. The other teams that are supposed to be winners aren't teams that people care about. The Nationals, the Rays, the Braves, the Twins. The Brewers, the Angels. The Brewers got a little bit of a fan base, sure. You can't find a national fan other than in Washington. There is no thing. There's no such thing as a Tampa Bay fan, not even in Tampa Bay, basically. Atlanta would go to all those playoff games in a row. And there'd be very little fan interest. Minnesota, whatever. I mean, come on. If it's not Kirk Cousins, you don't care about Minnesota unless it's Prince. 888-957-9570. More of your calls as we get you ready for a little Warriors Live coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Steiny and Guru will be in the building. Warriors got a 10-win Bulls team in town to beat tonight. You're in charge of baseball. Congratulations. You're the new marketing manager. What do you do for the future? How do you change the unwritten rules, not the written rules?
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
The Golden State Warriors should be rested, relaxed, and ready to go against an eminently beatable opponent. That eminently beatable opponent is
Chicago! Chicago!
Friday night at Oracle Arena, always a good night. We were having Ethan Sherwood Strauss on yesterday. We talked about how it really is turning into an epicenter between the NBA and Silicon Valley. Like, there's a lot going on in the hallways in the 45 minutes after any game wraps up at Oracle Arena. Here's what Ethan Sherwood Strauss said yesterday with us.
They are effectively planning the world economy courtside at Oracle Arena. I mean, that is what's happening in addition to the games. It is the watering hole for the biggest forces in the U.S., if not the world economy. It's a lot of power, especially now that Bezos is getting divorced and might lose half his fortune. Sorry, Seattle. The Bay Area, I think, is where it's at for when it comes to the big money and what's going on, not just in finance, but also in culture. So I do think that that does factor in to the free agents. And it's funny to say, because none of it seemed all that alluring back in the day when the Warriors were sporting those blue and orange uniforms. But nowadays, they do have that that sheen of a glamour franchise.
Yeah, Silicon Valley was happening when Thunder was still here, but it wasn't quite happening like it's happening now, obviously. And, you know, there's talk today about Klay Thompson and how, you know, hey, take him at his word. He doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't want to go play for anybody else, even though other teams are going to come after him hard if he really does test free agency or hit free agency. The Lakers especially, don't get, like, cocky with Klay Thompson. Don't just be casual about re-signing him, taking him at his word for it. You court him. You make sure that that guy understands how important he is to all of this. And I really do think, as we talk about, hey, Klay, take a hometown discount to stay in town. Your hometown discount wrapped into the right investment, which, oh, by the way, you can negotiate 45 minutes after you're done playing tonight. You know, you think four dribbles is a short distance to travel? How about 4 feet that way, and you can go meet the guy who runs Apple or Samsung or Rakuten, or, right, you know, all of the big, big, big companies that all of us have in our pocket right now.
Lots of opportunity.
Tons of opportunity to stay right here for the best team in the world and make a lot of good investments off the court. It's a good investment for a player to stay with the Warriors on the court, and that's hopefully an investment that Klay Thompson makes. If I were making an investment in all of our, you know, major sports, I would approach baseball with the most caution. I hate to think this because I love the sport, I really do, but is the most romantic and best of baseball that I knew in my life behind me now? Maybe it is. The game, if we were inventing sports for modern times, we wouldn't invent anything that moved at the pace or looked like Major League Baseball. It really is something that always is giving a nod to the past. How do you appreciate the past without living in it? That's the big question for baseball going forward. 3 million fewer fans went through turnstiles last year. Jason Stark, who I think is one of the most clever, brightest guys writing about the sport of baseball, he's now with The Athletic. Here's what he had to say about what is going on with a slow free agent market actually hurting attendance. And I think he's onto something. Jason Stark wrote, "Major League Baseball unintentionally performed a trick last season that was never duplicated even by David Copperfield. It made 3 million people disappear. That would be the 3 million paying customers who dropped off MLB's total attendance figures compared with 2017. Here's my theory. It's not just the weather. It's not just that the AL playoff field was pretty much wrapped up by Memorial Day. It wasn't just the pace of the game. It's not too much whiffing. It's not the way we're counting fannies and seats. I think some of this is the direct byproduct of an offseason where for many teams, it felt like nothing happened, or almost nothing. Much like this offseason, so far, as a matter of fact. By the way, the Giants have made a few moves. None of them have sold a single ticket. None of them. And really, like, whatever the Giants have done, you haven't even really heard about, and it doesn't even really matter. Like, there's no splashy nothing. And that's a team that sucked last year, and they've done nothing. Jason Stark writes, I spent the last week trying to figure out why to document that theory, and it's hard to prove, it's harder to disprove. So let's tell a few stories that connect the dots between adding the right players in the offseason and the butts that they put in the seats. And he begins with a story called Mr. Bonds Goes to San Francisco. He said, I wasn't planning to reach back a quarter century to make my point here, but in modern free agent times, there is no better example of this one. On December 8th, 1992, the Giants signed free agent Barry Bonds. In 1993, their attendance slightly rose a little by 1.04 million fans. The fact that we were able to get to 2.6 million in attendance that year at Candlestick Park, no less, was remarkable. That's a quote from Larry Bear. It was a million more than the previous year and 500,000 more than we'd ever drawn since moving to San Francisco. We had done some things with Barry that were special, but this was not just any star player. This was Barry Bonds. He says, let's not go off on a tangent here about how the world may view Barry Bonds today, but let's remember that when he was made a Giant, he was brought in to Union Square. They had a rally. They had like a parade for Bonds' arrival to get people excited about it. Barry Bonds was so touched by it, he cried at the ceremony. Ken Griffey Jr. shows up in Cincinnati. All of a sudden, Cincinnati went from 2 million to 2.6 million. It's their biggest attendance since the Big Red Machine. That's the oldest franchise in the sport, by the way. Look at the year that Miguel Cabrera got to Detroit. The Tigers drew 3.2 million people the next season after adding him in the offseason. The famous story there is that they sold 500 full-season tickets and 500 partial-season tickets on the very first day after they signed Miguel Cabrera. And now here we are. And you could tell me, like, is that then, but this is now, and that's not how people work anymore? I would disagree with that. We are a whole bunch of, as fans, we're enamored with star power. Jason Stark concludes, you know, maybe there isn't a single move the needle star in this entire sport these days, but my retort would be, what about Bryce Harper? Like, if Bryce Harper's the one guy who can inspire 1,000 people to call a season ticket office and start buying up packages instantly? He probably is. Is Manny Machado that guy? He probably isn't. Look, no one wants to give Bryce Harper $400 million. Again, I don't care about the Giants' money anymore. The Giants have been printing their own brand of money since 2010. They've spent a lot on bad teams. They now have a naming rights deal, which puts more money into that park, which was paid off so far ahead of schedule with all the success that they enjoyed. Why don't you call Scott Boras and be like, hey, Scott, no team in baseball is giving you the money that you want. We will go $400 million over 10. $40 million a year. Now, here's how it's going to work. We got a big rebuild to do, but we got butts to fill. We got seats to fill while we're going through the rebuild. It's going to take Zaidi a while to put together a team that will be a contender in 2 or 3 years to now, but you ain't going anywhere no time fast. As a matter of fact, you're going to be hitting in the middle of a lineup that kind of stinks for a little while, and your compensation is $40 million a year.
Wow, that's a lot.
I mean, it actually has to stop at some point. I mean, there can't ever be a $50 million a year play. Like, there has to be a bubble-breaking figure. Some people would say you might be on their way there right now. The fact that these guys haven't gotten the big money that they've asked for that you expected them to. Maybe we're heading towards a work stoppage because of it. But to me, you know, the Giants are printing their own money. Go ahead and get a player that would be interesting while you served up a team that specifically is not built to be interesting. The Giants are picked to have the second worst record in the National League, according to Vegas. They're picked to come in dead last in the National League West. The only team in the National League that's got a lower Vegas win total than the San Francisco Giants are the fighting Miami Jeters. This is Dave in Santa Clara. Dave, we're talking baseball this afternoon. What do you got for us?
I also talk football, but I can jump to baseball. And to your point about, you know, changing the game or changing something to get more casual fans to look, I think just more fast-paced, you know. Like, I'm a big football, basketball fan, but when you watch baseball, you know, they take a swing, then they got to fix their glove, fix their bat, fix their belt, look at the fans. It'll be another 20 seconds before they look at another pitch. Or, you know, the coach had to come out and talk to the pitcher for 10 minutes. It's just, it takes too long. You know, the game is still fun. It's the same game they've been playing for 100 years, but they got to pick up the speed.
Dave,
we got short attention spans these days. You know, we want everything fast. We want the internet fast. We want the game fast. Everything's got to be fast. We're trying to get home fast. I want my coffee fast. I order ahead. I'm trying to pick it up. I'm not trying to wait. I'll be damn trying to watch a 4-hour baseball game. I'll put it on basketball. I'll watch Bucks versus Pistons. It might not be a good game, but damn it, it'll be over in 2 hours. I'm not going to watch Brewers versus the Royals for 4 hours. Who's going to watch that?
Dave, thank you. You make a lot of good points, man. You really do. The pace of the game is an issue. Yeah, I mean, baseball could solve it by cutting down on commercial time. When you say the game's the same, though, and it hasn't changed, I do have to disagree a little bit right there. We are so pitching dominant, strikeout forward right now in the game of baseball. Folks, we are here for contact. You go to a Major League Baseball game for contact. You want to see this hitter put the ball in play. Any action on the field happens when that ball is put in play. If the ball's being put in play so dramatically less frequently due to all the strikeouts or just the home run, that, you know, the bang bang play at first base doesn't happen nearly as frequently as it used to. The turn two around the bag doesn't happen as nearly as frequently as it used to. And that, to me, is a bigger pacing problem than the actual minutes that we talk about. Like, to me, pace isn't necessarily time spent watching the game. It's game actually happening in the game.
The action.
Yeah, I need action. Billy the Kid in Dublin. What do you got, Billy?
Hey, Damon. Thanks for taking the call. I got a couple gimmicks, but the first thing that I would do, I have four, by the way, so the last one is going to be, I'm actually applying for the job after this call.
Okay.
The final one. But an electronic strike zone. There's just so many strike zones throughout each individual umpire. They rotate around. You get an electronic strike zone, and it would move along much quicker. Now for the two gimmicks. The gimmick is we've taken all the power away from the hitters with all these middle relievers and these specialized pitcher. Let's give them an aluminum bat. We'll hit the ball out of the park then.
Hit the ball out of the zip code in some of these guys.
Yeah. We'd have third baseman playing at the fence. But the biggest thing, the best marketing tool in the entire world is easy. It's sex. Let's just get some girls, some good-looking guys there. We could put some girls and some guys out in the bleachers.
No. Remember, it's a family game. Thank you very much. Renee Oakland. What do you got, Renee?
I'm sorry. That made me laugh. Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking the time to listen to my ideas. Now, Damon, you're kind of giving on baseball for not being with the times with the replays and everything. And I got to say, they got a great YouTube channel. It's the MLB Network channel, 95,000 subs. I'm not trying to be a smartass or anything.
No, let me tell you. So 95,000.
Let me tell you, I would pump more money into that. I would pump so much money into that. I would try to get a deal with Turner or get a deal with NBC and just have MLB Network, half an hour show every night. On a network where, you know, kids are going to watch it.
But look,
and then my next idea.
Yeah, Renee, hold on a second, though. Would you say they got 95,000 subscribers on YouTube? What does Baby Shark have?
Like, the 2 billion?
2 billion?
Like listen.
95,000 YouTube subscribers is like saying there are three people in our restaurant tonight. That's not a good number.
Oh, I wasn't trying to make it a good number. I was just letting you know it's there, and I'm trying to pump more money into it. And I'm also going to make it so that kids are free. Kids are free. That would be my radical idea. Kids are free. It's hard for people to go to the game right now. Bring your two kids to the game. You end up spending $250, $300 just to bring them to a game, decent seats, food. Kids are now free. Bring the butts into the seats.
Renee,
a brand new YouTube channel and everything.
Renee,
you're gonna love it.
Thank you. A couple of good points. You really do. Like you said, so YouTube is there. It just needs to be a lot more there. Kids in seats, here's the deal. There's only so many seats in the ballpark, so not all kids are free. But if the kid can sit on your lap, that kid's free.
Yeah, I mean, and you, I mean, 2-year-olds usually can kind of take with you because they won't take up a seat. It's 85,000 subscribers for MLB Network, which is what I think he's referring to.
Oh, okay. So that's lame. That's not like.
I mean, there are people who do makeup videos with far more subscribers.
Right. Right. You get kids who play League of Legends with like 750 million clicks on it.
Yeah.
Baseball. Oh, MLB Network's got 96,000 subscribers. Isn't that exciting?
I mean, that just shows you exactly how far behind they are in
right.
just
That's
this
like,
opportunity alone.
If you add the number of people following me in the morning show together on Twitter, we're kind of right around there.
Ryan's Toys Review, 17 million subscribers, and that's a kid with toy reviews.
I mean, right.
That puts it in perspective.
James, San Jose, how do you help baseball's marketing image problem?
Hey, David. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, big-time fan, first-time caller.
Thank you.
For me, there's no silver bullet, as you know better than anyone. This is going to take some time and effort and brainstorming, but to me, I feel like the fun in the game is gone. And to touch on your point of unwritten rules being kind of tweaked, why don't we hit these owners and hit these managers, hit these teams where it hurts when they try to throw at players enjoying themselves, showing emotions, doing bat flips? Why don't we hit them where it hurts so that we're sending the right message that, hey, this is not tolerated and fun is what we want and what we need in baseball to make it more enjoyable and to make it more to have more people come and enjoy the game and watch it.
Yeah, look, I don't think the fans should be left the responsibility to police the game of baseball, but I think that baseball needs to start stepping in and giving massively, catastrophically damaging suspensions to players who just, you know, look, the next time Madison Bumgarner throws at a kid, Madison Bumgarner should be suspended for 5 starts. I mean, do you think that would get his full flipping attention? And I love Madison Bumgarner, but his red ass act is tired. It really is. You know, snock rocket all you want. Be angry at your own boogers. You're not allowed to throw Buzz the Tower anymore on someone. You shouldn't. You shouldn't. You know, Yasiel Puig, he looked at that home run for what? You know, like if he had only looked at it for 8 seconds, it would have been fine. But 8 went to 11, so up, oh, we're angry now. Like, you all get over yourself. Seriously, it's like when I went to see the Mavericks big wave surfing competition, after being around all these stuck-up, stick-up-their-ass major leaguers, oh, this pitcher's pitching today. That means he's not going to talk. I'm watching guys surfing 50-foot walls of water that are specifically sent by Mother Nature to kill you. And they're just the coolest group of dudes just casually talking all day long. But, oh, no, Madison's pitching today. Or Madison pitched yesterday, so he's not talking today. Get the hell out of here, you over-self-valued nincompoop. And I'm not meaning that that's just Bumgarner. It's so many of these guys. You've never met a locker room of poorer red individuals. Like baseball, if we were putting all sports together.
Okay.
Who are the smartest athletes? I don't know. Who's in the middle of the pack? I'm not sure. Hands down, the dumbest group of athletes in America are baseball players.
Really?
They're the least well-read, least collegiate-educated group of nincompoops you're going to meet. Seriously. And I love them for it. I do. You don't need an education to be approachable and interesting, but so many of these guys got "don't approach me, I'm not interesting" written all over them that they need to just relax a little bit. Like, I want professionalism from my attorney. I don't need dress right desk professionalism from Evan Longoria. Like, feel free to let your hair down a little bit.
Just a little.
888-957-957. Jeez, I should stop giving out the number. We're officially running out of time here. Real fast, everybody gets 1 point because I want to get everybody on. Tone in the city. What do you got, Tone?
Real quick. Damn, I kind of disagree, so I'm glad you brought that up. I think you got attention. It's good. So if I'm going to want to do that and get mad and throw a pitch, don't suspend them. Let them roll it out. Pull the NHL. Let people fight. My last point is, a lot of these players, man, they're not worth the money, dang.
No, they're not.
They're not. Like, Harper was hitting 250. Bonds is worth it. Ken Griffey is worth it. Tony Gwynn was worth it. These players got to step their game up. That's what I feel. They need to step their game up, man. They're not that good.
Thank you, Tone. Tone, we're getting less of a major leaguer these days than maybe before. Or maybe it's just we just got way more pitching than ever before. Or no, actually, no, wait a minute. I know exactly what it is. We have less steroids than ever before.
So bring steroids back.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. I mean, I don't care. Do you care that Tom Cruise wore a lot of makeup to look handsome in that movie? He's an entertainer.
Yeah, it's a hard one because the makeup's not going to make or break his performance.
Have you seen Tom Cruise without makeup? That's all the time we have. Thank you very, very much for tuning in tonight. This was an awful lot of fun. You know, this was a really fun week. If you got stuck on hold today, I'm sorry. You should have called in a little bit earlier. Maybe you will next week. We're certainly going to be looking forward to talking to you earlier next week. We got a great next week coming up. We'll be reacting to all divisional rounds and a very interesting weekend for the Warriors. Next week is going to be a very interesting week for the Warriors because it means you know who. The boogeyman is right around the corner. Yeah.
I'm ready.
I am too. Hey, thanks so much to Mike Silver, to John Morosi, to Brian Baldinger. Albie, Elena, Gianna, thank you all so very much. Enjoy tonight's Warriors game. And enjoy what's coming up in the near future. Oh, yeah. We'll get you out to a little Warriors Live starting next year on 95.7 The Game. In the meantime, remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Chicago, Chicago, we're going!